All right, folks, welcome back to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Saturday, December 5th, 2020. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other programs I've participated in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, a contact page, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, and many other useful and important links. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to the Barnes Review, the bi-monthly historical revisionist magazine. Please do subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all of the details. All right, with that said, let me introduce our special guest this evening, Giuseppe Vaffanculo. I told you before we started I was going to get that wrong. Giuseppe, we'll just leave it at that, is joining us for the very first time.
Hold on, John. It's like our favorite, the Jew, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyways, you are an independent broadcaster and journalist, as well as an alternative health practitioner. So welcome to the program. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing well. It's an honor to be on. I'm a big fan of your work and have been reading you for years at the American Free Press and Barnes Review. And it's great that you champion truth as you do.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, you're a host of a number of radio programs, or maybe not necessarily a host, but a co-host. You're involved in a number of radio programs, including Operation Scorpio, which I have appeared as a guest on at least twice now.
Right.
So, yeah, and I really enjoy your radio programs, and I think you guys do a lot of really good work. So could you kind of introduce yourself and give us some background details and kind of explain how you became involved in the alternative media?
Sure. My early years, I'm 61 years old a couple of months ago. And when I grew up, born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and went to the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee in the late 70s and early 80s, and got dual degrees in journalism and mass communication. And through an interesting, weird series of events, I was got to write professionally for the Milwaukee Sentinel, which was the largest morning daily newspaper in the state of Wisconsin while I was still in college, you know, so they just liked what I did. And so I went to part-time college and worked full-time. And so I amassed, in the 80s, over 500 byline articles in the Milwaukee Sentinel, and then eventually migrated to long-form article writing for the Business Journal of Milwaukee, and then magazines and then specialty publishing, and also did some radio work. But, you know, as you well know, it's a lot of pressure. Well, it used to be, because in the old days when it was real newspapers with real presses running and you were a morning daily, you had to have your article in, phoned in often on a pay phone, you know, by like 11:30 at the latest. And then they'd get it to the copy editors and boom, boom, boom. They'd want the presses running by about midnight because they had to get the early edition up north, because Milwaukee is in the southeast corner, 90 miles north of Chicago. But they had to get the paper all the way up to northern Wisconsin. So there was really hard deadlines. And so a lot of pressure and a lot of stress and low pay, as you well know, being writing for any publication, except if you're an elite gaslighter, then they get paid really well, but the real people don't. And so then I migrated using my writing skills to marketing, PR, and then I saw the sales guys were making a lot of money. And so I eventually got into software sales and CD-ROM manufacturing sales, and then had some entrepreneurial efforts and moved around the country and did things. And eventually midlife, a lot of people midlife, they have a crisis. And for me, it was like, you know, I'm doing all this stuff and I'm working for other people in their entrepreneurial efforts and they're becoming millionaires. But when I do it myself, things don't go right. I was betrayed, embezzled, blah, blah, blah. You know, learned a lot of painful lessons. And I'm like, I need something different. I'm clearly not going to get rich. I'm not going to have that path. So let me do something that I will find personally rewarding and can, you know, make me a living wage at least. And so at the time, my wife and I were living in New Mexico, in the southwest corner by Silver City, New Mexico, which is just a great place. You know, it's up in the upper elevations. So you get, you know, like 90 degrees for summer. And then when the sun goes down, it's in the 50s because it's 6,000 feet up. And New Mexico is the only state in the union where a doctor of oriental medicine, an acupuncturist, has the same level of function as a Western allopathic doctor. You can order blood tests, urine tests, blah, blah, blah. And so we, my wife and I have been into alternative medicine for, you know, long, long time. And so we got to be friends with our acupuncturist, which often does happen. And she was like, yeah, I know you're frustrated, because that when we were out there, I helped the guy set up a business, wrote his business plan. It was a great idea, but NAFTA destroyed it. Good old Bill Clinton ruined his great idea, because instead of having prices being protected in the United States, all of a sudden you could bring in really inexpensive knockoff products from like Mexico and Japan and all that. So that ruined his idea. And so tragedy struck in the form of my youngest brother had his first child, a little boy, and he was killed by vaccines. So it was called SIDS, but the day after, a few hours after he got his second set of vaccinations, rather, he died at daycare. And so that was one of the most heinous things. So we had to fly back to Milwaukee. I never met my nephew, but I got to attend his funeral thanks to vaccination. And so
Sorry to hear that. That's tragic.
Oh my God, that was so brutal, John. Yeah. And so we got back, and, you know, I was at a point where for like a year, our friend, the doctor of rhino medicine, was saying, you know, you should go into this medicine. You love it so much, and it needs enthusiastic people, and you need something new in your life. And I just couldn't imagine going back to college after 20 years, right? And so we get back, and we're just depressed. We're laying on the bed. I remember it vividly. It was a Friday night in the early 2000s, and all of a sudden the phone rings, back when you still used like landlines with the, you know, the cordless handset and all that. And it was our friend, and she goes, you know, I'm so sorry, it's so horrible. She goes, you know, you should go back to school and do oriental medicine. You can make a difference, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden it was like one of those moments where the light bulb went on, and I'm like, I stood up literally and I shook my fist at the universe. And it's like, I'm tired of all this. If I'm meant to do this, it's not going to be hard. Everything's hard, been hard for so long. And literally, it all happened so quick. My family really needed us to move back home to help the healing of that heinous tragedy. And turns out one of the best schools of oriental medicine colleges in the country is right in Chicago and southeast Wisconsin. They took care of getting loans. We found a place to live that was affordable. So really, it all fell into place. So that was, you know, 15 years ago we did that, and graduated summa cum laude with a master's of science in oriental medicine and a bachelor's of science in nutrition. And then, been in practice. I'm nationally board certified and, have licenses in Wisconsin and Virginia, which, you know, I maintain current. I'm not currently practicing because I won't wear a mask. And so I can't practice until they loosen up the restrictions. And so that leads to why I got into the alternative media. So you know, my show on Friday night, which we wanted you on, but because of your own work schedule, it was easier to have you on Saturday, Operation Scorpio. And so I used to be a big fan. My three things are you know, do oriental medicine. I've been a songwriter, musician for 35 years, and I independent artist, recording artist, and then a writer. You know, I've always maintained, you know, once you know how to write, it's a useful thing and you always want to write. So those are my, like, the three sides of the perfect triangle, which is the name of my show. And so what I used to like to do for years, going way back, is I'd practice guitar and run scales and things like that. And then I'd turn on, you know, the people of the day, Jeff Rentz or Jim Fetzer. And Jim Fetzer was an early adopter of, you know, the YouTube videos and all that. And I'd sit there and he'd do 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And I'd play guitar and just like, wow, that's amazing. You know, my mother, ironically, back in the 60s, she never believed that Oswald did it alone, right? And so I was raised as a skeptic from very early on in my life. I was 4 years old when Kennedy was shot. And I remember, you know, back when Mark Lane, I was a little boy, he had that, there was an actual special on national TV where he was looking at improving that Oswald didn't do it. I mean, can you imagine today, like someone doing a national broadcast about how 9/11 was done by the Israelis? What a, how things have changed for the worse. And so anyway, Jim went through the various trials and tribulations of internet, Wild West, alternative broadcasting, and he ended up at Revolution Radio. Now, Revolution Radio is a real fascinating endeavor. It was started 11 years ago by Mike Ringley. His nickname is Nighthawk, and Mike sadly passed away about a year and a quarter ago. And he was a prepper and a great singer-songwriter, musician, former military, knew all about high-tech stuff and communications and encryption. So he said it on himself that he wanted an independent free speech platform, and that's what Revolution Radio is. And to this day, it's still the same platform. You go to Freedom's Lips. It reads more like freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. For 11 years now, they've been running two radio stations, Studio A and Studio B, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. All original programming. We're now up to about nearly 100 hosts. And Jim Fetzer went over there. And so, you know, when things started to get real chippy about a couple of years ago with Trump and everybody losing their mind with Trump derangement syndrome, I would call in once in a while, and people really liked when Giuseppe called. And so he was like, we corresponded via email. He's like, you should call in more often. Everybody loves it. So I'm like, sure, I can do that, Jim. And so I began to be like a regular caller, and it got to be, you know, really regular, to the point where David Scorpio, who's another guy who's been in alternative broadcasting for a long time, he's a expat in Ecuador and my partner in all this, we co-host together, and he'd be a great guy to have on the Realist Report. He's got some really interesting stories, a California guy and getting hassled by the state so much in his business that he finally decided to move to Ecuador. It's really interesting, and he goes back to the very early days of podcasting and broadcasting with at grism.blogspot.com and all that.
Right. And so, yeah. And Dave is, as you mentioned, he is the co-host of Operation Scorpio, the program that I've been on.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So he's the main host. You're the co-host. But then you also do a few other programs as well.
I created to tie together that narrative is Jim Fetzer was recruited to be part of a new business model driven by Dean Ryan. Dean Ryan's been around. A lot of people may know him. He was with Alex Jones, and then he was with Truth Be Told out of California, LA area. And anyway, he recruited Jim away from Revolution Radio. And so there were 3 2-hour slots. And so he was like, you should take one of my slots. And so I did. I took the Friday night slot and repurposed it and created a show called The Perfect Triangle, which in Oriental medicine is body, mind, and spirit. And so I thought, well, I'll do my little unique twist will be, instead of the polarized dialectic of two sides, let's add a third side to the discussions and see if we can come up with some greater truths and not be just screaming at each other. And it's very popular. It's in the top 10 of the ratings. It started in July. And then Scorpio said, hey, you know what? I can expand to 3 hours. You want to co-host one? And so that was actually came before my show. And then because it was going so well as his co-host, I got my own show. Then another fellow left and left Dave Scorpio hanging. So we created a third show called The Wisdom Circle, which is on Wednesdays, noon to 2 Eastern, which is a very cool show as well. And then Jim Fetzer, that whole deal fell apart. He was doing a weekly nightly show when the whole Corona hoax started, and called The Real Deal Report, right? It was Jim Fetzer, Dean Ryan, and Mike Barra, the fella from Ancient Aliens. And he was Richard Hoagland's sidekick for a long time. He's done, put together a fairly decent mainstream career about conspiracy, and not very many people that can say that. And so they were doing, it was pretty cool. I liked watching it, but then they had a big blow up in August, and they really kind of screwed Jim and libeled him and claimed like he was, really backstabbing them. And then Jim had their actual recording and he played it. And so they parted ways, and I'm like, he's doing a great service. There's nobody doing a real news and analysis show about these real issues every day. So I was like, I know this is going to be a big time suck. But so I said, Jim, you know what? I'm competent enough at video production. We could do this. We could. And Dave Scorpio will want to be in it. And so some of the other Revolution Radio hosts. So we created Need to Know : The Fetzer Report. And we launched that in August, and now we're at episode 80, and 5 days a week. And it is a lot of work, but it's really taught me how to really use video editing software, which is something I wanted to learn. And it's been a real honor because Jim's a legend. So in addition to the three radio shows, I now produce and participate in 5 video cast shows weekly. So it's a full time thing, and it's all donated time at this point. We haven't really figured out a good way to monetize it. Some people do, but we haven't figured that out yet.
Wow. Yeah. So you're definitely staying busy with the broadcasting and, production and sort of behind the scenes work as well. That's good, man. Good. I listen to a lot of your stuff, and it's interesting. It's all topics that, are near and dear to my heart. And Jim Fetzer has been probably one of the most influential, alternative media personalities going back to when I first got started in all this. I mean, I remember listening to his program. Well, it was called The Real Deal as well, but it was more just like a podcast, and he hosted it on a blogger, like a Blogspot site, which I don't know.
Right.
I don't even know if he still has that website, but back then he was really focusing almost exclusively on 9/11. He also would do shows about JFK and some other topics, but the main topic, of course, was 9/11. So, and that was something that was, fascinating to me. I wanted to get to the bottom of 9/11 once I kind of started, reinvestigating that issue. And he did a lot of work on that. And I always thought he was a very credible and sort of authoritative voice, in the community, given his professional and education, his professional background and his education, I should say. That's interesting. I'm going to have to tune in. I haven't seen any of your shows with Dr. Fetzer, but I see him tweet about it from time to time. And it looks like you guys are talking about, like body doubles and certain cases and that sort of stuff is just, it's out there, but it's very interesting. And I think that there is a lot to that sort of stuff, but I don't want to, get totally sidetracked on that, but maybe you could comment on that. That seems to be like one of the main topics you guys talk about, right?
Well, I'll tell you, and I'll send you the links for, we already had one of, so we use StreamYard. So we webcast it live, we pre-record it, and then I can edit in things and images and what have you. So I'll get you the links if you want to check it out. And it's at his BitChute, but it's funny because Jim, as far as I know, was the first guy to come out and say, that's a body double. Oh, I know why. Because we were covering we actually totally live streamed debate coverage, me, Jim, and Scorpio. And Jim's like, that's not Biden. That's a body double. And I'm like, Jim, I don't know. I gave him a lot of pushback because, Joe Biden has had how many hair transplants and how much plastic surgery. And my point initially was, Jim, he just had, they said he was in his basement, but he just had a ton of work done to make him look younger. And he's like, no, you can't alter the ears. And look at even the eyes aren't the same color. And I'm like, man, the more pictures he you may be right. I mean, it's out there, but, stranger things have happened. And I don't know if you ever caught a few years ago, the 2016 election against Trump with Hillary Clinton, where he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that she used at least as many as 5 body doubles, but 3 for sure. Like, I don't know if you recall it when she was at that 9/11 commemoration and she collapsed and they caught her right before she went face plant onto the curb and dragged her into a van and took off. And there was a lot of reports of her having serious health issues because of the rigors of the presidential campaign. And well, the person who came out an hour later and waved to the crowd was literally 100 pounds lighter and looked like Meg Ryan. Like Jim says, well, this Hillary body double is like the Meryl Streep. She reminds me of Meryl Streep. And look at this. But the one that is undeniable is when the skinnier, younger looking woman came out of the apartment building where the daughter lived, which is where they took the collapsed Hillary Clinton to. And you know, you do look at the side by side. It is not the same person. And the second tell is that she came out with no Secret Service coverage. And if that was the real Hillary Clinton, she would have had Secret Service protection with her. So, yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah. And I am familiar with some of this information. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these elites have body doubles. You know, you see, I remember like seeing videos back in the day. They're probably all gone. I mean, YouTube has been so thoroughly, you know, censored at this point. But right. A lot of interesting videos were put out about, you know, alleging some people may be transgendered. And, you know, like I'm thinking like Bill Gates's alleged wife and Serena Williams and Michelle Obama and many other, you know, sort of celebrities and stuff. And it is pretty far out there, but you know, you look at some of this stuff and it's like, gosh, they might be onto something here. So it's very interesting. Right. And I totally support people researching and investigating any issue, including these kind of far out there issues as well. So that's cool that you guys are doing that. I'm going to have to tune in a little bit more often if I can.
Oh, so, yeah. It's, I mean, Jim writes the scripts and he just, he turns 80 years old tomorrow, and he's an absolute dynamo. I mean,
the dude is a machine, man. He is. Yeah. He's a beast. Yeah, he's always been like that. He's very impressive to me, and he's a very honest person. Now, I see a lot of people criticize him, but to me, he's one of the more articulate and honest investigators out there. I mean, he'll admit when he's wrong. I don't agree with everything that he says, but yeah, I mean, who does? Right. Yeah, like, you know, you don't agree with everybody on every little thing. But at the end of the day, I think he is a very honest person, and he's done a lot of good work, you know, on all sorts of topics. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing that I really love about Jim and maybe you'll agree with this is so many of these PhD level doctorate graduates, they're so haughty and we have to follow the rules of the academy and we can only discuss these things. And Jim before that was a Marine. He grew up as a, you know, a wild child in the 50s rather. And he uses all his training. I mean, the guy, went to Princeton, I believe, or Yale, one of them, you know, he graduated and he's a professor emeritus, but he doesn't act like an arrogant, I'm smarter than you just because I, you know, went through the typical rigors of PhD level academia. And that's what I love about him. And he's like the first to go out on a limb with these crazy things. But if he's proven wrong, he's like, that was my theory. I'm proven wrong. Let's move on. He doesn't take any of it personally, where so many of these other PhD types take it all personally and their ego and their reputation are so precious. And I could never say that. And he doesn't give a rat's patootie what he throws out there. It's interesting to him, and he applies. I mean, he's a master of all the various logical theorems and arguments. You know, he taught it for several decades, so he just applies it, and he like bleeds himself. He's passionate and dispassionate at the same time, and that's what I really like about him.
Yes, yeah, I agree, man. Well, I wanted to kind of jump into the main topic today, and that, of course, is the COVID-19 scam, this, you know, scamdemic.
Right. And,
you know, to kind of get started, when I was recently on Operation Scorpio, shortly after the election, and we kind of talked about the fallout from the election, it's still, of course, sort of disputed, and Trump is, well, he's got a legal team anyways that are trying to expose the voter fraud and reverse the election results and prevent the Electoral College from certifying the results and everything. So I guess to get started, I'd like to get your take on the still contested election, because in my view, the COVID-19 scam was used in part, you know, I think this was a huge part of it, the setup of it anyways, to help the Democrats in the global deep state steal the election from Trump So what are your thoughts on the still contested election?
You nailed it. They absolutely, you know, a real great ruse is multi-dimensional and gives you multiple benefits, right? So the whole COVID-19 new nanoterrorist served multiple purposes. The biggest purpose is their shuffling in an absolute satanic scam of nanotechnology, DNA writing vaccines. It's absolutely absurd, and we'll talk about that later. That's their number one agenda. That's their huge plan of the Great Reset, the new normal, the Build Back Better, all their pithy little phrases, right? But at the same time, they also got double value because they knew, or intended rather, and I guess knew, that if they could disturb the typical voting methodologies and get a lot of people to do mail-in ballots and get a lot of people to not go and vote in person, there were far more believable ways to steal the election. Because the reality is, and Jim Fetzer is all over this, he's been covering this since day one, and he makes very, very convincing arguments that two things happened. Number one, they just an amazing amount of fake ballots in all these contested states. And number two, that Dominion software is so easy to hack that they even though, you know, typically since Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org has been covering this really well since 2003 about how all ever since they went to back then it was the corrupt Diebold machines, and then Diebold became such a toxic name that they sold to Dominion. And what in the world is a Canadian country doing having any involvement in our presidential election, and why is there a German company, Skytel or Skittle, involved as well? It's just ridiculous. And so, but the problem they faced and why they needed the COVID and the physical ballots is because they knew from their accurate polling that the whole color revolution, that Soros-driven Bolshevik 2.0 had enraged the great silent majority. The reality is Donald Trump probably won 48 states easily, and only New York and California, which, you know, Donald Trump could come and said, oh, I've cured cancer and here's the elixir of immortality, and he still would have lost New York and California. But the fact is basically the best hacking at the software level, at the algorithmic level, is when you're plus or minus three in a close election. So what they had to do, and they knew this ahead of time, and this is why they did it, they had to also create all kinds of physical analog paper ballot confusion to hide the fact that in eight of those states, the unprecedented, well, we've counted till 10 o'clock, we're going to turn this off now, and everybody go get some rest and come back in the morning. And during that time, they were able to shut down the Dominion software, recalibrate it with a new algorithm, and erase Trump's lead and give Biden a big lead, and then let the Dominion software work in reality again. So when the final tally actually was revealed, it showed Biden winning all these states and the most elected votes ever in the history of presidential elections. And bullshit. That
yeah, man, exactly. See, yeah, there's a lot of red flags, and I have no doubt that there was, you know, voter fraud, election fraud in this election, as there are in all elections. I think just having, you know, these sorts of systems in place just invites corruption, invites, you know, people to manipulate the votes and to steal votes in some cases. And, you know, this is something that's been well documented for a number of years now. Jim Condon Jr. has been talking about it. You mentioned,
blackboxvoting.org.
Blackbox voting, yeah, there you go. Yeah. So there's a lot of really credible people talking about this and exposing it. So that to me is it makes a lot of sense, and I have no doubt that there was election fraud. But there's just some, like, basic statistical anomalies that just prove that this election was stolen. I mean, how does a guy like Joe Biden, who literally couldn't get more than like 20 people to attend an event, end up with 80 million votes. Meanwhile, President Trump is out there doing his rallies, and they're overflowing with people. They're turning people away. I mean, he's going to, like, small towns and getting, like, 60,000 people showing up. I wouldn't be – you know, and you said California and New York may have been the only states that didn't go for Trump. I don't even know if I'm convinced of that. I mean, I'm in Southern California, and you'd be shocked at how many people are out that you know, you see supporting Trump even out here. I mean, I don't know. Right. I'm not saying that California voted for Trump or it went for Trump in reality, but I'm saying that President Trump had widespread appeal, and I have no doubt that he did, in fact, win in a landslide, and this was stolen from him. And what kills me is that he was basically calling this in the months leading up to the election, but he just, you know, he's just failed to really do anything about it, and he's got all these people in his administration that are openly hostile to his agenda and not even trying to help him, like his attorney general, for example. And it's just mind-blowing. Like, what is this guy doing? You know, it's like he created this mess, and, you know, it's his own fault for the predicament that he's in my view.
Well, you know, there's a really bright guy named Chris Weinert who's recently joined Revolution Radio. And before that, he was doing years of his own YouTube broadcast, and he got, you know, would have thousands of followers, and they'd blow him up and censor him. And his tagline is brutal honesty. He's a real, real bright guy. And we just, Scorpio and I went on his show this early evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right before this. And we were having just this discussion. And, you know, Jim Fetzer believes that Donald Trump is, you know, he's such a hero, and he's going to be the greatest president ever, and he's going to, you know, somehow expose the deep state. But the three of us are way more jaded, you know, and when we do the shows, if you go, and I'll send you the links after this interview, if you check out like the last couple of weeks, Chris has been a commentator. The format is Jim hosted and writes a script, and then like Dave Scorpio and I, or Mike Livey and I, or Dave Scorpio and Chris will then, Jim reads a story, and then what do you guys think? And he gets in a comment from each commentator. And for weeks we've been saying, when he says Donald Trump's going to do this, he's the greatest president ever, we're like, Jim, I don't know. You know, it just seems like this is more like a script, like Trump is playing a role. And the more I look at it, and the more what's going on, I think that there's the Great Reset is using the COVID-19 scamdemic, and also the Soros-driven wing of the kosher sandwich, which is the communist slice of the kosher sandwich, really wants to destroy the United States. I mean, George Soros is such a despicable lowlife, and I mean, what kind of person? You know, I mean, he's a Jew, right? And Jews are tight beyond tight in their tribe. And so if there's one thing that a Jew never does is never rats out another Jew or does harm to another Jew. And yet, as a teenager in World War II, he sold out his fellow Hungarian Jews to the Nazis to save his own rear end, right? I mean, so that's just not how that tribe rolls. And so now he's a billionaire, and he's publicly stated on multiple international media. In fact, I have a quote that I'll drop in when I'm editing the Need to Know shows, that Soros on 2014 German national television said he hates the United States and his greatest goal in life is to destroy the country, right? So what we're seeing is the idea that the Trump is possibly playing a role to foment some type of civil war to move this country closer to no longer being a sovereign republic, but more like a vassal Soviet state in the North American Union. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I think so. And despite, you know, all the criticisms I have of Trump, I think that he represents something that the global deep state is very much opposed to. I mean, just the fact that he's a bold, white, successful man in itself, and he ostensibly represents the interests of white America. That alone, just the optics in his rhetoric, are a major reason why they need to get him out of the way in order to really go full on with this whole Great Reset agenda and to, as you say, totally destroy the United States of America, totally destroy American sovereignty. and, you know, implement this, like the Green New Deal and Agenda 21. This is all very much tied into this whole Great Reset concept, which essentially is global communism. You know, the billionaire class, the very like 2% elites basically controlling all of society. And that's exactly what we've seen since this COVID scam began and the lockdowns really got started, right? Going back to, geez, it was March, I think, when California and some of these other states and local jurisdictions really started implementing these lockdown agendas. And now it's all coming back. You know, it's almost as if they, you know, these, well, and see, actually, you know, before I even go there, let me just mention this. I think that the one other aspect of this whole COVID scam has brought out is like the you know, you hear about the deep state, you know, Trump has been talking about the deep state and fake news and some of these other concepts, but COVID-19 has shown that the deep state is actually global in nature. And, you know, you see that so clearly with this scam, because all of the major leaders all around the world, at least in the West anyways, they're all totally on board with the main talking points about the alleged pandemic. You know, you got to wear your mask, the importance of vaccination. I mean, all of them are talking about vaccines, social distancing, you know, locking things down and sort of dictating every little aspect of your life and dictating how the economy is going to work. You know, this is basically, again, global communism, where this elite class is in charge and telling us what we can and can't do. And everybody's on board with it, at least for the most part, except for Trump in certain regards. You know, he's been critical of the lockdowns. He's been critical of masks to a certain extent. He's, of course, been, you know, charging ahead with this whole idea that everybody needs to get a vaccine. And that, again, you know, you mentioned that that's like their number one agenda with all of this. And that clearly seems to be the case just based on, you know, everybody's in lockstep on this issue. You know, everybody's going to have to get a vaccine. Despite, you know, even these people that are manufacturing these vaccines saying that it may not even work, saying that even if you do get a vaccine, you're still going to have to wear your mask and all this other nonsense. So it's really just a gigantic scam, and it really kind of exposes the global nature of this idea of the deep state and how it's not just in America, it's all around the world.
Oh, man, you know, and think back to 2016 when Trump entered the race, right? There were like 17 or 18 of the most despicable stooges, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, all the tired old traitors that served the globalists in the Republican Party. And all of a sudden, every one of them was going to lose to Queen Hillary, right? This was going to be Hillary Clinton's coronation. And so Donald Trump enters in, and from what I've read from multiple believable sources who have been right about a lot of other things, Trump's whole idea was to jump in, stir it up, and create an opportunity for him to have tons of free publicity to create his own Trump network. So then that was his goal, right? Because Trump loves Trump. Let's face facts.
And so his own like media network, you mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, CNN, okay. Trump Network, you know, 24 hours. Imagine the money in that. And so but all of a sudden he was so brilliant at like tearing apart Jeb Bush and all of the other ones, and he used real, like, your brother was involved in 9/11, right? And Ted Cruz, he said to Ted Cruz, your father was there when they killed Kennedy. I mean, he was throwing out a lot of truths you and I know. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump's the front runner, right? And so he's using a lot of phrases and taglines that from Steve Bannon, who's just a brilliant deviant guy, that appeal to the white silent majority throughout the so-called flyover states, right? And so Donald Trump won because he was a wild card. He overachieved. He never thought he would win the election. Otherwise, he would have stocked his administration and his cabinet with patriots and people who were loyal to his base, right? But he used his base, never thought he was getting elected, and that's totally terrified the globalist parasites, the internationalist Jew, right? The Rothschild banking types. And so they have spent every moment, even before he took office, just trying to destroy that guy. Trump wanted to form a real dialogue and partnership with Putin. That would have been the best thing that could have possibly happened to the world. But all the globalists, no, no, Russia's our enemy. Russia hacked the election. Russia did this. And nonstop, man, trying to impeach him for the Russia lies, when in reality, Clinton and the Bidens and the Obamas were involved in all this traitorous, dirty dealings with Uranium One and these other ones that have come out off of Hunter Biden's laptop. So they spent, they being the globalists and their minions in dual citizen traitors in this government, spent the entirety of Trump's term trying to destroy him any which way. And he was the Teflon Trump. None of it stuck. And so their last hope was to destroy and totally steal his reelection, which he, as we just proved moments ago, won overwhelmingly. But they cannot give any hope to the typical decent white American, who, by the way, is a 60% majority in this country, to have any sense of sovereignty, any sense of freedom, any sense of loving your nation, a nationalist. You know, Trump won because we are still a majority of nationalists and populists. But the globalist parasite can't have that. And so that's why right now they're trying to physically destroy populists and nationalists with this deadly scam of a vaccine. And they're trying to psychologically destroy nationalists and populists by saying, you know what? You got on us once. Trump got in. But we're showing you who really controls this country now. We're stealing this election, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the way I think it's all going.
Yeah, no, that certainly seems to be the case. And you said a couple things I want to comment on. One, the 2016 election, it was all Russia, as you mentioned, Russian interference, and you know, the Putin and his cronies helped Trump win the election, and it was election fraud and this and that. Now it's totally the opposite. It's, you know, there's no evidence of voter fraud. This is the most, you know, legitimate and you know, clean election in history. I mean, it's the total opposite. It's just a, right. You know, it's like a 100%, you know, script reversal. It's insane. And yeah, you know, I think Trump, you know, looking back when he first got involved, I think you're probably right about that. I think he didn't really realize how much appeal he would have, and he kind of stole the show once he got on, you know, once he officially announced and got in the ring, and totally. Just totally dominated everybody and realized, wow, I have a lot of appeal. But there's actually an interview, I can't remember, I think it was on PBS Frontlines, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember exactly the source, but Steve Bannon was being interviewed, and this was after Bannon had been fired. Wasn't Bannon fired by Trump, like, shortly after he was elected, right?
Oh, yeah, because they brought in the Shabbat Lubavitch crowd, his son-in-law and the other ones, and yeah. They brought in the big Wall Street Goldman Sachs crowd, and they, you know, Bannon, I mean, they tried to arrest him, right? All the guys, that's how much they wanted to guys who got him elected.
Well, see, and that's the thing. I mean, Bannon talks about this, how once Trump was actually elected and got into office, it was almost as if he didn't really know what to do, and he basically, like, let the establishment take over his presidency. And they, you know, they got rid of Bannon, they got rid of, you know, pretty much all the major populace. And so that to me, it's like, what is this guy doing? I mean, he had so much potential. He had so much, you know, he was saying a lot of really good things. He still does say a lot of really good things. You know, he seems to have good instincts. He seems to be on the right side. Definitely in a whole other league compared to any other politician, at least that I've ever seen on like the federal, you know, national scale like this. I mean, he still comes across as very genuine. I still can't figure it out. Like, I can't figure out if he is like just this actor, you know, playing a role in this, you know, in this drama, in this whole, you know, satanic plot to enslave the world and destroy America, or is he just like a genuine guy that's just, you know, being manipulated and taken advantage of and doesn't realize what he's up against? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know if anybody really knows the answer to that. But at the end of the day, a lot of the evidence and a lot of the things that we're seeing play out lead me to believe that, you know, he's not going to get a second term, And he's going to get, you know, these people want revenge. These people are out to get him.
Oh, yeah.
They are not, you know, they're not playing nice. They've never played nice. You know, I don't know why, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, he was talking about locking Hillary Clinton up for all the crimes that she committed. She's still walking around freely. You know, I mean, he needs to go after these people. And sadly, unfortunately, I think that time is, you know, he had an opportunity to do all of that. And he just, you know, didn't act for whatever reason, or maybe got bad advice or hired the wrong people. I don't know what the explanation is, but he's definitely been a major failure on a number of fronts, which is really unfortunate because he did have a lot of potential. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, in a month or two, we'll see. You know, he'll come back and he'll actually be president again, and he'll clean house and really do some things. I don't know. I certainly hope that's the case, but I'm very, very doubtful at this point.
Oh, man. Well stated. Now, about Trump, have you ever seen the movie or the play Elmer Gantry?
I have not, no.
Well, it's worth watching, especially if you want to get insights into Trump. The story of Elmer Gantry is a con man grifter named Elmer Gantry is on the run from the law, right? And he hides out in a small Midwest town. And they mistake him for a preacher coming to town because they've been waiting for another preacher, right? So he is such a skilled con man grifter. He immediately takes the role of the preacher, memorizes the Bible, and becomes this great, decent, spiritual leader of this town, right? Everybody loves him, the beautiful girl who, you know, wants to marry him and blah, blah, blah. And finally, of course, his past catches up to him and everything, right? So it's worth watching because I think that Trump is a player and he's but he's so believes what his narrative, right? His grift, that part of him, even though he was kind of what's the right word? You know, he's a New York real estate guy and he's non-Jewish, so he knows how to play the game. He's bankrupted four times. There was an interview that played on 60 Minutes back in the 80s or early 90s. That's part of a four-part documentary on Netflix on Trump, where one of the bankers from the Federal Reserve in New York was interviewed by 60 Minutes and said, Donald Trump, we could have ruined him at any point, but, you know, we felt as though he could be useful to us in the future. So we always let him keep going. And so look at how useful he ended up being, right? So I think that Trump really started to believe, and I think he, in his heart, he thinks he's the self-made American living the American dream, and he really vibes off the love of the people who come to and see him as their hope for a populist or nationalist leadership. So it's such a complex deception on so many levels. And I think that when he went in, he was really pumped up by Bannon and all the people he met in the United States as he campaigned. But then he got the talking to. And if you remember, he was supposed to meet with Barack Obama for like 20 minutes, and it ended up being like 2 hours. And he came out of that meeting looking like nervous, like, do they have a little red dot on my forehead? And he started flashing all these Illuminati signs and looking very, very contrite and nervous and everything. And I'm like, I even said that to my wife. He got the talking to. So there are people who wield enormous amounts of power that we don't know they exist. We know they exist. We don't know who they are. And I think Trump has been on a razor's edge this whole time. And I really hope somehow that the world is not as dark as I see it, and that somehow he does get this election, and somehow he won't have to win another election, so he can be like at the end of Elmer Gantry, where he really became that preacher, and who really, you know, he got to marry the girl and all that, and so I hope, but you know, I don't really believe it though. I think that they're making an example of him now. And I think they'll reward him with the Trump network to keep him quiet because, yeah, I don't know if you recall a few weeks ago when Donald Trump Jr. said, we should just release everything, let them know what's really going on, and that really terrified the globalists. So they're going to work out some kind of deal. Donald Trump wrote a book called Art of the Deal, after all.
Right. Yeah, we will definitely see. I mean, given Trump's, you know, personality and his ego, you know, I don't see him going away necessarily, even if he's not the president. I think he's still going to be, you know, a force in our society, in our world,
right,
for years to come. So we'll see. I mean, the election thing, you know, it's, what can you really do but sit back and watch? I mean, you know, right. I don't know. There's people out there protesting and going to rallies and stuff, and you know, I support that. I suppose it's just, I don't know. I think our hands are really tied with a lot of this stuff. And you know, that leads into, I really want to kind of spend some time here and talk about the whole COVID-19 situation. It's a topic you've been talking about and writing about even. Right. I noticed that you've been collaborating with Russ Winter at winterwatch.net, which is very good. I've always been a big fan of his work, and he's been a guest on Russ. Yeah, I know he's been on, Russ has been on your show. He's been on my show a number of times, and he's really insightful, really good journalist, really good researcher. And you've been contributing to winterwatch.net. I'm looking at an article here that was published on November 27th, Anatomy of a Great Lie, the COVID-19 Second Wave is Pure Deception. And it's a good article kind of just outlining, really, just kind of breaking down and debunking like the official COVID narrative. And, you know, I got to say, looking back, you know, going back to February, March, when it really got going here in the United States, I'm at a point now where I frankly don't buy any of it. I don't even think
right. The
whole thing with China, maybe China played a role, in this narrative and in setting this up in order to undermine Trump and to help, you know, the Democrats steal the election. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if that's true or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. But I got to say, you know, looking back on it, it's just one big media deception. One big gaslighting campaign. It's a psychological warfare operation being conducted against the world, aimed primarily at the American public, but also, you know, the broader Western world. You know, you see what's going on in Australia and places in Europe, and it's the same exact policies, same exact talking points by all of the leaders. And, you know, you look back and you remember, like, the videos on Twitter and in other social media outlets of, you know, allegedly in China, of people, like, dying and being locked in their apartment complexes and stuff like this. This was all media fakery, all media trauma-based mind control. That's all it
Without
was.
Without a doubt. Without
and,
a doubt.
And coronavirus never... is simply just the common cold, the flu. You know, and let me also mention this, and I'll turn it over to you. This entire time, until the past month or so, I literally did not know a single person, I have family in other states, I have friends in other states. I didn't know a single person that was even sick this entire time until relatively recently. And a couple people that I'm very close with did get sick, and it's basically it's what we've known. It's basically flu-like symptoms. You know, you get put on your butt and, you know, put in your bed for a few days. You're sick, you're tired, you have, you know, a fever, the chills maybe, a cough, a runny nose, etc. Basic symptoms that everybody gets, at least in my case. I mean, I usually get like some sort of flu-like illness once a year. I haven't been sick this entire year, knock on wood. But I mean, this is common for most people. And that's all COVID-19 really is at the end of the day. So, and again, according to the CDC's own statistics, almost 100% of people recover from it naturally anyways. So why do we even need a vaccine? So go ahead. I kind of said
I mean, you summed it up. You get it. That's exactly right. And are you aware of how this really began in earnest 10 years ago? Have you read the Rockefeller Foundation report that laid out four possible scenarios? Because, ooh, diseases are so scary and the world needs to be afraid. And they made these predictive programming movies, like that movie called Plague and all that stuff.
Yeah, this is something that the global deep state has had, you know, up their sleeve, this idea of using like a alleged pandemic to justify this very sort of tyranny we're seeing today. This has been in the cards for a number of years. And, you know, they had previous rollouts with like Ebola and SARS and, you know, other alleged viruses and pandemics. in previous years. But this year was just, you know, fully rolled out, fully taken to the extreme on a whole new level.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, they were laying the groundwork for it. And 10 years ago in the Rockefeller Foundation report, they laid out four possible excuse me, scenarios, the worst of which was called Operation Lockstep. If you go in that report, I mean, I have it in PDF. If you want, I'll send it to you. If you read Operation Lockstep, which was the worst of the four, it reads exactly like the PSYOP, gaslighting PSYOP we're all living through today. So they planned it. And simultaneously in 2010, all of a sudden, Bill Gates, you know, the true self-made man who was born 6 inches from home plate and thinks he hit a home run, you know, began his 10-year quest to create a global web of vaccine control. I mean, he literally has become the vaccine CEO of the world, and he controls the WHO, he controls Gavi. He totally has a say in what the CDC is doing. And then there's all these NGOs he controls. Plus, he's invested in Moderna and all these companies, including the one that developed Luciferase, you know, Lucifer with ESE, which is a way to give you a quantum tattoo that when you shine a certain frequency light, like a black light poster from the 70s, it'll show up, so there's no way you can ever remove it. You know, that he's got a patent on that, 060606. I mean, they do these things to mock us, right? I mean, they are Satanists after all. They do serve an evil entity that's beyond space and time, and that's why they wield the type of power they do. And so it's funny that those two things began a decade ago. Then last October, there was Event 201 where Bill Gates paid for bringing together the CDC, WHO, medical leaders of all the Western nations, China. They had this big forum, and they all looked so serious, and they all speak in their mumbo-jumbo about viruses and immunology and the dangerous threat. And, you know, the funny thing about the earth and viruses is that, you know, we're all, this is my medical training now, you know, 6,000 year old natural medicine, that's a complete medical system. You know, people are like, oh, do you put some needles in my back if I got a backache? Traditional Chinese medicine treats everything and treats it all effectively and naturally. And so what the Taoist monks and priests who developed this medicine 6,000 years ago understood is everything is connected, right? And so the lie, the great lie of vaccines, which I call quackscenes, because the entire pseudoscience is quackery. There's never been a vaccine that is effective. There's never been a vaccine that's safe. And the science most certainly is not settled. They go, oh, the science is settled when people like Robert Kennedy Jr. or Del Bigtree or Dr. Judy Mikovits or Dr. Sherry Tenpenny or Dr. Barbara Lowe want to debate and you know, try to draw public awareness that vaccines are a scam. No, the science is settled. I mean, just think about that for a second. Real scientists are never settled. They always are learning, discovering, challenging their beliefs to improve the science. So right there, it shows you it's not a science. It's quackery. And yet it's the dominant medical system on the planet, even more so than pharmaceuticals now. Why? Because pills are heavily regulated still to this day by the FDA. Vaccines have indemnification. It's like a criminal syndicate, and you're a made man in the mafia. Hey, sorry, I ran over your kid, but you can't do anything against me because I'm a made man. That's what the vaccine industry has. They have no way to be sued. There's this kangaroo court that's called the Vaccine Injury Court. That's not a court at all. It's some money propped up by the federal government. So you cannot sue a biologics manufacturer, that's what the big pharma calls vaccine, their division, the biologics division. You cannot sue the biologics company. You have to sue the federal government and go to their kangaroo court. And only about one in 100 ever get any kind of compensation. And so it's, John, it's just so criminal. And yet you've got all these people who are like, oh, my God, your child hasn't been vaccinated. You can't let him play with my child. Oh, my God. And yet every real study, you know, and they're finally trying to put together some effective studies because the pharmaceutical biologic industry won't allow real AB blind studies where half the children were never vaccinated and the other half were vaccinated because they know it would show that it's quackery that you're poisoning all these children and giving them lifelong health issues. But now clever people have done the same study but have used the Amish and said, well, these Amish children were born in 1990 and we'll track them along with their counterparts just down the road in Pennsylvania. And there's many of these clever data analyses that show 100% vaccines are terrible for the health of a child and adults for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have no doubt about that. You know, one thing I got to ask you though, and you'd probably know a lot more about this than I certainly would. It seems like vaccines impact. I mean, cause I myself, I was vaccinated. I took all the vaccines when I was a kid. I don't remember the last time I received a vaccine, but it was probably when I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. I haven't had one, you know, my entire adult life. So I'm wondering, and you know, I'm pretty healthy. You know, I don't think I had any really major side effects. Do you think that vaccines impact certain people, like your, I hate to bring it up, it's such a tragic subject, but like your nephew, for example, like some people just have really, really negative reactions to them and other people can kind of deal with it.
That's exactly right.
What do you think is going on? Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. That's true. There's a lot of people who get a shot and they go about their life normally, but their health is impacted. So let's say yourself, right? You said that you're getting sick once a year, or in the case of my wife, who, her parents were in the Foreign Service, so she had to get a lot of extra vaccines. She's had terrible asthma ever since those vaccines, right? And so it can affect you in various ways, but it does affect you. It always lowers your immune function somehow. All of autoimmune diseases are actually from vaccine damage and injury. All vaccines are contaminated. I mean, just like the blood supply, especially around the time beginning with the whole but actually before the whole AIDS fear porn. You know, remember when like that little boy Ryan White died of AIDS and Arthur Ashe, the tennis player, intellectual tennis player, everyone slammed him as a homosexual, closet. No, they both had blood transfusions and the entire Western blood supply was contaminated at that time, and actually is still contaminated to this day with all types of laboratory-created bioweapons, essentially. So what has gone on is – well, let me ask you a question. How much money do you think the United States government spends on bioweapon development annually?
I have no idea, but I would say it's probably in the billions.
Yeah, half a trillion with a T, $500 billion a year. And so they hide this under all kinds of, well, we're trying to you know, the whole lie, the whole scam of the whole pseudoscience of vaccinations. We're trying to protect people. Well, you know what the greatest protection is, you know, natural health and taking care of your body. And so what they do is they try to create something called gain of function. And gain of function is when you arrogantly run human cells through the try to combine them. And really, you know, it sounds like so high tech. What they do is they take a chunk of a monkey brain and some human tissue and put it in a blender and grind it up at high speed and try to merge it. And then you culture it and you see what you get and you keep doing that until literally you achieve a zootropic effect, and that means the virus jumps from one species to another. In nature, there's almost never any actual jump of a species, a virus. So like if bats have a virus, it stays with bats. It takes nature, and that takes a weird kind of mutation. 500 years, maybe 1,000 years, and something will jump. Everything that we're told about in the constant lie about the vaccination, you know, and the disease industry and virology, it's all bullshit. They are creating all these chimeric hybrids for the purpose of creating an attenuated bioweapon that they can make a lot of people sick and then make trillions of dollars with a regular vaccination. They've been after this for decades, and they tried the first time was with HIV. That was created at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Dr. Judy Mikovits worked on it, and everyone since, the versions of Ebola, the swine flu, the bird flu, MERS, SARS, and now this latest one, SARS-CoV-2, they are all created in a laboratory. How can I make that bold statement? I can make it easily because it's factual. There's a worldwide agreement between all legitimate virologists, scientists, PhD level, and they have a system where they put a little code in every chimeric hybrid, and then they publish the code in a worldwide database. And that's why real reporters a few months ago could say, well, the SARS-CoV-2 began in Fort Detrick, then it was worked on. I don't have these memorized. I'm just, you know, guessing. Then it went to Madison, Wisconsin for a while. Then it went to Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. Then they changed the law, and you could no longer do that work in the United States, so they migrated to laboratories in Wuhan. That's essentially how they know what SARS-CoV-2 was when they said, well, the Wu flu, it started in Wuhan, China. No, it didn't. They could track where it had been all those years previous because it was a gain of function creation. And that's the lie that we're told for decades and decades. You know what's funny, John, why there's never the global plague? Because Mother Nature, we are all integrated and existent in a biosphere, right? And so when in a laboratory in pristine environment, you can make things like Ebola that's super deadly, right? They intentionally released that in 2014 in Africa, killed 23,000 people. That was going to be their global pandemic to have everybody have to take the Ebola vaccine. But nature intervened, and here's how it intervened. There's some type of quantum level connection that is really just only barely being scratched, and I'll explain what I mean, the knowledge of that. But somehow, when those deadly laboratory-created bioweapons get out in public, somehow they mutate and they attenuate and they become benign, and it always is the case. And so, the quantum theory and mathematics has stated such things for many years, but nobody could. That was the big thing about string theory and M theory. Well, you know, it sounds so great, the unifying field theory, but you know, you can't prove it in the real world. Well, guess what? There's some incredibly bright, clever people on this planet. And last year, there was a research study done by a really clever PhD biologist, virologist, and who is hip to trying to prove that the energetic connection and why nature can change these viruses and how it does it, right? So he took his own living blood and kept it alive and put it on a plane flying away from him, right? And they were in a strong Wi-Fi connection and monitoring this via video in real time. And so the blood taken from him was alive and can be proven via the video, right? And so then he took blood from himself and stimulated it with some type of electric current or some type of pain response, right, on his own body. Instantaneously, no delay, that living blood from him had the same reaction. So there is your physical proof of the quantum field connection of all things. And so, you know, God help us all when they figure out how to harness that, then we're done.
Yeah, very well said. Lots of interesting points you raised. You know, one thing that's so clear to me is that the whole idea of vaccines is just so unnatural and yep. actually satanic. I mean, I think it really is like this is. Evil. Yeah. So it's, and there's, and it's just so obvious when you look at like the way they're created, the ingredients that they use, the toxic ingredients, you know, it's basically like just putting poison in yourself. And, again, you know, it kind of exposes this whole COVID agenda, because that is one of the, maybe next to wearing a mask, the idea that everybody needs to get a vaccine to get, you know, to get back to normal or whatever is one of the major themes of this entire thing. And you know what? You see it. You see how people, well, at least in my own personal experience, you know, I've heard, you know, multiple people just over the course of the past week say, look, maybe the vaccine will help and, you know, we will be able to get back to normal once it's available and people start taking it. That's exactly what they want. I mean, yeah. they have psychologically right. abused the public to such an extent that they're willing to accept a vaccine that they know nothing about, that isn't even necessary according to the, you know, the, you look at like the actual numbers and you get into some of the numbers in your article over on winterwatch.net. I mean, everybody's basically recovering from this SARS-CoV-2 virus, which essentially is, again, the common cold or the common flu. And, you know, so what's the point of even having a vaccine? You know, it hasn't really killed anybody. Did you see that recent, let's see, I posted it. I know I posted it on Twitter. I read most of it. It was an article put out by Johns Hopkins University, of all places.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's one of, like, the main sources, you know, quote-unquote sources, you know, tracking the COVID statistics and everything. And they released a study saying that, like, the deaths, yeah, here it is, yeah, the COVID-19 has relatively no effect on deaths in the United States. I mean, all of these statistics are just manipulated. Everything is COVID now, rather than pneumonia or, you know, whatever other illnesses that we used to track. Everything is COVID now.
Right. Well, John, I mean, so there's the CDC was you know, Bill Gates was the first one, the vaccine messiah in February. Even Fauci and the CDC were just going to let what's going on roll, because it really was a typical flu season, even with the release of this SARS-CoV-2, which actually was released probably in 2018, and it's been around for a while. They're starting to check blood samples, and they're finding it way back in 2019 already. And so it's probably been around right around the time SARS hit. That 2017, 2018 timeframe is probably when SARS-CoV got out as well. It's all a lie. But what's really interesting is, you remember, I remember in February, Bill, this is it. This is the one. He was going on all the national news shows and all that. All of a sudden, Fauci's jumping on. And I remember what, I mean, I'm a singer-songwriter. I love music, and a big fan of early prog rock, like Genesis with Peter Gabriel and Steve Hackett, and Yes, and King Crimson and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and the great Steve Hackett, the really great prog guitarist from Genesis, who's left in 77 and has had a phenomenal solo career ever since then. He played downtown in the District of Criminals at the Lincoln Theater. And it was early March. I think it was March 6th or 9th. I don't remember exactly, but people were already, it had been for a few weeks of Gates being Chicken Little, the sky is falling, and there's this new disease. It's worldwide. And, already they had the name COVID-19 right away. Remember, they had it already. And you could tell some people were already wearing masks at the concert. And I was like, you know, a week into it, when they first Chicken Littled it all, I was like, well, if this is it, there's going to be a lot of dead people that, you know, you cannot run and hide if this is a true bioweapon. And when the people who were dying were, with my own medical training, they were all going to die anyway. They were the elderly in nursing homes. They were people who already were sickly, right? The ones that they showed, you know, like they'd give you a tell, well, this guy was a diabetic, but you know that, you know. And so the CDC claimed in March or April that 230,000 people had already died from COVID-19, right? So then in October, they on a Friday afternoon, they released a press release. Well, here's the actual causes of death. What we had originally attributed to COVID-19 were, you know, 55,000 heart attacks, 90,000 cancer, you know, everything but COVID-19. I mean, that, like you said, it's just it for someone who actually is immune, a little weakened, it ends up being a pretty nasty chest cold, right? And you think it's gone, and then you go back and you go eat an ice cream bar or eat a bunch of M&Ms, and it comes back. Because the clever thing about those chimeric hybrids is they'll go hide in your gut, right? And so your immune function, which is essentially your white blood cells and your T cells and your macrophages and your neutrophages and all the line of defense that destroys microbials that try to invade us, you know, if you eat a lot of sugar, you don't get enough sleep, you drink a lot of alcohol, you eat a lot of, you know, genetically modified foods that throw off your body's ability to make new blood, right? I don't know. Most people don't know. Your red blood cells and your white blood cells, they only live 90 to 120 days, and then your body has to make more. And so if your immune system is compromised, you don't make as many, right? So that's then how the microbial pathogenic invaders can get the upper hand. And here's another thing most people don't understand is that, oh yeah, I had a abscess tooth, but luckily I got you know, I went on amoxicillin for 10 days and now I can have my tooth pulled. It saved me. It's like, no, actually it didn't. The amoxicillin only killed enough bacteria for your body's immune system to take over and fix it. Your body always takes care of what's going on, or it doesn't. It's never some outside drug or vaccination that is the magic pill. Everybody in America and the Western world wants a magic pill, a magic shot. And that is the greatest mind rape there is. There is no magic pill. There is no magic shot. What you have is the opportunity to maintain good health.
And you know what, I want to kind of wrap up here. We're over the hour mark, and I try to usually keep the podcast right about an hour.
Oh, sure.
What in your view, I mean, you're, you know, into alternative, you know, medicine, alternative health, I guess. What is the best way to stay healthy? I mean, it's certainly not taking a vaccine.
Oh, absolutely. The best way to stay healthy is get plenty of rest. Whenever you can, eat organic food. If you can't afford organic food, especially vegetables, there's a list of it's called the Dirty Dozen of vegetables that are so sprayed with chemicals and all that, you want to eat organic. But other things, you know, if you can only buy store-bought, that's great. Take supplements that are organic or natural. You have to take a mineral supplement because corporate farming has destroyed the nutrients in the dirt. So even if you think you're buying decent food, it's not going to have enough mineral content. Like our grandparents and great-grandparents, they ate the hearts, they ate the brains, they ate the livers, and those organs were full of natural minerals. So now we're all mineral depleted. You have to take a good chelated natural mineral supplement. It really behooves you to look for natural supplementations like C and D and things that are distilled actual food. You don't want to buy a Walgreens or a Walmart, you know, vitamin C pill. It's not going to help you in any way. It's synthetic and it's compressed and you don't digest it well. What you want is dehydrated real fruits and vegetables that your body can digest. You want to use alcohol in moderation, use everything in moderation, you know, and things that are really bad for you, you're told they're bad for a reason. And exercise and meditate and you know, we didn't get into it. Sorry, I was blathering on other topics, but the second wave is a complete deception. When you have people terrified for 9 months, it wears down your immune function. That's why people are getting sick. The flu shot is toxic. The flu shot isn't. And they rolled it out early because they knew if they were scaring people and they got them to take flu shots, they would get the flu. They would get the garbage that's in the flu shot. That's the second thing. And the third thing is, for 6,000 years, natural oriental medicine, and for 10,000 years, Ayurvedic medicine, which I greatly respect, has known that when the seasons change, people get sick, especially summer, fall to winter. Going into winter, you're not getting as much sun. you have an atavistic urge to rest more. That's when people get sick. That's why every winter is the cold flu season. So they knew those three things were going to work together and make a lot of people sick. That's the COVID second wave. There wasn't even a first wave, really, but there certainly is no second wave.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and you also see the role that, like, the fake testing plays. Oh, like, God. Where you can't – I mean, you can't trust any of these tests. And even if you do test positive, what does it even mean? I mean, if I were to get sick right now and go get a COVID test and tested positive, what would that change? I'd still be sick. I'd still recover naturally and be fine. So, I mean, you know, and I, not that I trust the tests anyways. I mean, I don't even know if this alleged virus has been – proven to be isolated, or, you know, who even knows what it is? I mean, it's all, I'm very skeptical about the entire thing.
Right.
So, but I mean, you know, I don't know. It's, it's crazy. I hear you though about, just natural ways to stay healthy. I mean, to me, it's about eating right. I totally agree with you. I try to buy as much local produce and fruit that I can. And, you know, luckily that's one of the benefits of living in California.
Oh yeah. Right.
Is, you know, you're just access to, you know, local food sources, and there's plenty of them. Even here in, you know, like the Los Angeles area, I go to a farmer's market once a week and stock up. And, you know, it's just, I'm telling you, if the listeners out there, if you do not shop at a local farmer's market or get, you know, get your produce and fruits and vegetables and stuff from a local source, try it out. It might be a little bit more money. It's actually really affordable here. But I could imagine it, you know, usually it's a little bit more money compared to the supermarket. But it is so different and so much better, and it's, the quality is, it's like night and day. It's like, it's that, you know, that noticeable.
Oh, without
so that. I highly recommend that. And then, of course, as you said, you know, getting rest and exercising, getting sun. I mean, geez, you got to get some sun.
Oh, and
gotta get outside.
A couple other really important. Don't eat processed sugars. If you want something sweet, get like an organic dark chocolate, or eat, you know, some type of fruit. Like, you know, they sell all kinds of health. Well, even normal grocery stores now sell, like, you know, dehydrated pineapple, dehydrated blueberries, organic. You know, a really great thing for the body is raw honey. You know, if you got a sweet
tooth. Oh, honey is the best.
Right.
Yeah.
But it needs
and
to
I get
be
honey from the farmer's
raw.
Market
yeah.
as
there
well.
There you go.
And the other thing, the lady that makes it. Mm-hmm. Is, sorry, go ahead.
You got to stay away from genetically modified anything, like high fructose, corn syrup, trans fats, anything that is corporate created. Your body doesn't know what to do with, so it stores it in weird ways, and it builds it up in weird ways, like in the liver, and believe it or not, even in the kidneys and things. Like GMO shit can clog your kidneys, and so just, you know, whenever possible, do things naturally, and stay away from the great cabals, the GMO cabal, the big pharma cabal. And there's always a natural way. And what you need Western allopathic medicine for, and what they're great at, is trauma, acute care, you know, emergency room, best in the world, and surgery. I mean, the advances in surgery are really something else. And finally, that PCR test created by Dr. Kerry Mullen in 1985, he was a real iconoclast, a real heretic, and he hated Fauci and Gallo. And I've seen clips of him interviewing, saying, give me 10 minutes and I'll prove what complete assholes Fauci and Gallo are. And he created the PCR test as a research tool because he didn't believe what they were saying about HIV. And how interesting it is that it's a 95% false positive on that test. And so they waited till he died to use it as the benchmark.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. I know, actually, speaking of that, just to kind of conclude here, you had another article, I think, published at Winter Watch kind of breaking down the whole COVID testing, correct?
Correct. Right, right.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'll link that, and I'll link the article that we were sort of discussing, the anatomy of a great lie, the COVID-19 second wave is pure deception. And yeah, man, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Oh,
it's you know, good to catch up with you. I'm glad that we you know, connected, and I've been on your show and you've been on mine now. I'd love to interview, your co-host as well one of these days, Dave.
Oh, he would love it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll reach out to him and see if I can get him on.
And one last thing, people need a positive distraction. And if you like music and want to support an independent artist, my music is at the word Lumen, like light, LumenJingos.com, Lumen Jingos. And it's my songs have been played all over the world in the last 30 years. In fact, I put out after a pretty long gap, I put out an album last year, and there's a pretty prestigious European independent music chart, and I had put two songs in the top 40 last year. So check out LumenJingos.com. You may enjoy the music. It's very melodic guitar folk rock.
Very cool. Thanks, man. All right. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up with that. And I'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good night.
Oh, thank you, John. It was an honor. And keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.